Welcome to the Focus Church podcast. Thank you for joining us today. We hope that it inspires you and gives you a fresh perspective. Enjoy the sermon.
I greet you in the name of Jesus Christ. My name is Anthony Santiago. I am the closest thing you've got to your pastor, okay? If anything happens to your pastor, I'm here for you, okay? Just kidding. Don't write that down, please. But I love you. But I've got a call on my life. My family and I have a call on our life to pastor and lead a church in Alicante, Spain. Has anyone been to Spain before? All right, a few of you. So we are moving there. We are currently stateside waiting for our visas, but my beautiful family and I are going to be moving there in the coming months once we receive our visa. And I believe we have a photo of this beautiful family. I left that to be here with you today, all right? So don't say I never did anything for you, okay? But we are very, very excited. It's a great adventure. In the same way that Pastor Michael planted this church, we're just looking to do the same thing over there in Spain. So when you give, when you support missions, when you give to Focus Church, know that we are an extension of your family. And it means a tremendous amount to me and my family. But beyond us, you are making a difference in Alicante, Spain. Right now, we're having monthly services, and we had over 60 people show up at our Easter service. And we are just amazed by all that God is doing. And I believe we have a photo to show as well of the service that we had. And it's just so encouraging to see so many people come and want to experience an atmosphere like this, want to receive a message from the Bible, and want to learn how to be a better human being through the life of Jesus. And so know that the thing that you're a part of is more than just the Southeast Christian Church, right? It's more than just here in the South that God is moving, but He is moving globally, and the thing that you are a part of is bigger than the part that you play. And so this church is continuing to grow. We have had 5 baptisms. Yeah. In the past few months. We're not at the 300 mark. My brother keeps reminding me, but hey, we're doing something, right? And in fact, one of the girls that we baptized, I think we have a photo of her as well. Her home is actually in Holly Springs, North Carolina. So she had to go from Holly Springs to Alicante, Spain to meet Jesus. So Michael's not doing something around here. You know what I'm saying? I'm just kidding. But we are so grateful for your prayers, for your support. Thank you, Pastor Mike, for all that you have done for me and for my family, for believing in me. It's such a great, great joy to do this. Well, we are in the middle of a series called Hidden Heroes. Are you enjoying it this morning? Well, when it comes to hidden heroes, we're going to be looking at the life of Mordecai. And so when it comes to a hidden hero, man, he is someone that is hidden back in the Old Testament in the book of Esther, if you want to turn there. But his soul, his life, is a hero to me. And before we look at even that passage, in 3 John verse 2, it says this: "Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you, that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul." How's your soul this morning? When it comes to a hidden hero, the heroes in my book, the heroes in my life, are not those who do some grandiose thing, are not those who save the train from running into the building, though that's great and very heroic. For me personally, the heroes in my life are those that have a healthy soul, are those that when they walk into a room, you can feel their presence, that when they walk into the room and they begin to speak, you begin to listen as if they were commands. And so my prayer today is that as we look to the life of Mordecai, that we look to him as a healthy soul, because I believe he is certainly one of those. And as we look to him, I pray that we look to him as a model, that we can say, "How, Lord, may you also put a healthy soul in me." The Mordecai model. In Jesus' name, we come again and we ask, Holy Spirit, to reveal this text, Lord, unto our hearts, God. Lord, we want to leave here healthy and whole and stable, oh God. over anything that has us jostled, God, or unsettled, Lord, any chaos or crisis in our lives, God, we rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Lord, and we say, though the situation and circumstance may not change, our soul will be at rest. In Jesus' name, and the church said, amen. Growing up, I grew up playing a lot of sports, as you might know from your pastor. He grew up playing sports, not as good as I did, but he certainly tried. And I remember growing up, one of my favorite organized sports that I played was the sport of tennis. And when I would play tennis, I would follow a professional athlete on the screen. I would watch his games and watch how he played, even watch his practices. And this tennis player was the name Rafael Nadal. Has anyone heard of Rafa Nadal before? He is the GOAT. There is no discussion. There is no argument. If you think it's anyone else, you're wrong, all right? It's in the book of Leviticus somewhere. So, but I remember watching him play, and I aspired to be like him to the point that in his games, he would carry a thing of bananas in his bag. And on the changeover, whenever he would, you know, go from one side of the court to the other and take a break and sit down, he would down these bananas like if they were bottles of water. And so at 12 years old, what do I do in my young tennis career? I said, Mom, I need some bananas. I'm going to tennis practice. And in her confusion, she didn't quite understand it, but I would get to the tennis practice and those that were on my team looked at me like I was insane, but I remember just grabbing those bananas and being like, I'm gonna be a professional one day, you know, one banana at a time. So I would follow him in his nutrition, even how he played tennis. A lot of tennis players would hit the backhand one-handed, you know. You know, there's a one-handed backhand and a two-handed backhand. Well, Rafa Nadal did a two-handed backhand, right? And so what did I do? I did the two-handed backhand. Why? Because Rafa Nadal was my model. He was my hero. He was a man who inspired me. And though while tennis is a great sport and fun to play, it nevertheless did not get me to a professional life of tennis, which is why I'm here this morning. Now, in a very similar way, you may have people in your life, maybe close to you or at a distance, that you look to and you say, these people are models for me. These people are examples that I wish to follow. And when it comes to the health of your soul, this has been my prayer leading up to this point. I pray that your soul would be healthy, church. When it comes to the health of your soul, though, there are examples throughout your life and in scripture that we can follow that can aid our soul to health. So we're going to be looking at the book of Esther. And it's in particular, we're going to be focusing on the character of Mordecai. Now, I won't be able to do the book justice in the next 22 minutes. So I would encourage you to go and read the entire book of Esther throughout this week if you're looking for a practical thing to do. But interwoven throughout the book of Esther are these examples, these decisions, these events in Mordecai's life that he makes that resemble a soul that is healthy. And we begin to see his life develop in Esther 2, verses 5 through 6. It says this, there was a Jew in Susa, that is the capital there in Persia, the citadel, which is the capital, whose name was Mordecai. Can you say Mordecai? If you're looking for a son's name, like a new baby born boy, that's not the one I would choose personally, but there it is. Mordecai, the son of Jair, son of Shimei, son of Kish, a Benjamite. None of those either, by the way. So this Jew living in exile had been carried away from Jerusalem, verse 6, from among the captives, carried away with Jeconiah, king of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had carried away. Again, this is a type of story. Have you ever been trying to share something with someone and it's like, you had to be there? That was your conclusion? You were trying your best to tell of the events, but you end up just telling them you had to be there? You had to be there, okay? You had to have read all of these chapters to really grasp what's going on here. But here is simply a depiction, an introduction of a soul by the name of Mordecai. And the Bible tells us that he has been carried from exile. He has been carried from Jerusalem. He is a Jew. His home is Jerusalem. Where he worships is in Jerusalem. Where he eats is in Jerusalem. Where his friends are is in Jerusalem. His culture, his way of life, his holidays, all of that he knows is in Jerusalem. And the Bible says that Israel is in a time of exile. They have been carried away. They have been taken over. And they have been pushed out into Persia. And what's interesting about his soul, as we will read, is that his soul is healthy regardless of where he is. Regardless of the transition, regardless of the change, regardless of what is around him, the new government, a new society, a new cuisine, a new climate, a new culture, his soul stays the same. I'll never forget, it was the senior year, the summer before my senior year. And for those who don't know, we grew up in Madrid, Spain. Our parents were missionaries there. And my life was great, guys. Like, Madrid, Spain, it sounds the way you think it is. I mean, it was just incredible. I was on the tennis team, of course, on a soccer team. I was the vice president of my high school. I was my dad's youth pastor. I had amazing friends. And life was going great. Like, the apex of my life was right there in Madrid, Spain. And I'll never forget the summer before my senior year. My parents came to my little brother and I, and they said, "Boys, we're moving from Madrid, Spain to Berea, Kentucky." Got some, you know, the Kleenex, clean my ears out a little bit. I'm sorry, what did you say, Mom? "We're moving from Madrid, Spain to Berea, Kentucky." Does anyone know where Berea, Kentucky is? Two people. Been there, not pretty. You heard it here first. I didn't say it. He said it. I remember looking up to the heavens and saying, my God, why have you forsaken me, your servant?" Life was good. Life was all that it needed to be. I had the friends, I had the community, I had the culture, the cuisine in Spain. Oh my word. Incredible. And all of a sudden, in a moment, right before the senior year is about to start, in that moment, they say, "Sorry, son, we've got to move from Madrid, Spain to Berea, Kentucky." Do you know the pain, the agony, the desperation, just the frustration of moving? I was looking for my passport, ready to burn it. I mean, I was not in favor of this at all. Behold, we make the move to Kentucky. And would you believe that I could not understand a single teacher talking in their classrooms? The accents were so thick. I remember talking to my biology teacher. I said, "Miss, can you please just write what you're saying on the board and make sure you spell it accurately?" There were more trucks than people in this state. Looking around, man, I was a lost boy in this public high school. Just remember, like, looking around and just feeling lost. I mean, cow tipping is an Olympic event there, you know? And to go from the soccer that I loved and the tennis that I played to the American football and basketball, I felt lost. And I too was in exile like Israel. Just kidding. That is a true joke. Nevertheless, I do remember that change. And I remember having it affect on my life and on my soul. And I just remember living in my grandmother's basement there in Berea, Kentucky. And I just remember my soul being devastated, being hurt, being confused, being lost. Have you ever been there before? Right. Have you ever been in a time of transition?
Yes.
In a time of change? Maybe it was a divorce. Maybe it was a job loss. Maybe you did move states. Maybe you were deployed. What does your soul feel like in those moments? How does your soul respond? What I believe that we can find in the life of Mordecai is this, that though change may be upon you, the health of your soul is still under your control.
That's really good.
The health of your soul is still under your control. I cannot dictate what will change tomorrow, church. I cannot dictate if they will, if the government will shut down our church in Spain. I cannot dictate who your next president is going to be. I cannot dictate whether you're going to get a demotion or a promotion in your next season. I cannot declare and confess that you're going to be here and live happily ever after. But what I can tell you is this: you have control over your soul. You have control over your soul. You can abide in the spiritual disciplines. You can get on your knees every single morning and declare unto God that you are His, that you are a son, that you are a daughter of the King. You can open up your Bible and say, Lord, what is it that you want to speak to me today? I cannot control my prosperity, but I can control my soul. This is Mordecai. This is his life. He remains a Jew despite living in exile, under a new government, under new leadership, under a new culture, under change. His soul is still in control. And the health of Mordecai's soul we see even before the exile begins. In Esther 2, verse 7, it says this: He, Mordecai, was bringing up Hadassah, that is Esther, the daughter of his uncle, for she had neither father nor mother. The Bible just tells us that Mordecai's role in the story of Esther is that he is raising her. Very important. The health of a soul is under your control. When you have a healthy soul, you're looking to help. He sees her and he says, I will raise her. It says that the young woman, Esther, had a beautiful figure and was lovely to look at. And all the ladies just got a little jelly, right? She had both. She had a great face and a great figure, just like my beautiful wife. Let's keep reading. And when her father and her mother died, Mordecai took her as his own daughter. So again, we see Mordecai's life is one of health, that though he be in exile, he understands that his soul is still under his control. The health of his soul is still for him to be stewarded, regardless of the external circumstances, regardless of what happens to you. Let's take it a step further. The health of a soul is one that is willing to help. A soul that is healthy is one that is helpful. He sees a need. He sees a baby girl's father and mother die. And when your soul is healthy, you are in a position to help. Some of us have a desire to help, but we are not healthy. Think about that for a moment. I'm not saying that you don't have the desire to help, but are you able to help? A healthy soul is one that is in a position to help. And Mordecai, he moves from one place to another, and he's like, that's not going to faze me. Not only is it the external circumstances of what happens to him is he able to live through, but in addition and furthermore, he doesn't stand in a corner and say, the health of my soul is for me and me alone. But he understands that the health of his soul is so that he might be helpful to others. One of my favorite people in all of the world, Dave Ramsey. When I hear his name, I get goosebumps. I get butterflies. You know his intro to his radio station? You know that song? Does anyone know what I'm talking about? We almost played it at my wedding when my wife was walking down the aisle. All right, that's how much Dave Ramsey means to me. Well, he has this line, and he says this. He says, live like no one else so that you can live like no one else. Be different. Have a healthy soul now so that you can help and live a healthy life later, and so that you can help those in need. Our soul needs to be healthy. The Lord just gave me this as I was preaching. Psalm 1, don't turn there, just Psalm 1 talks about a blessed man, a soul that is healthy. And it says that he is like a tree planted by streams of living water. And in its season, he bears fruit. He does not wither, but he bears fruit. And all that he does, he prospers. I pray that it may go well with your soul. I pray that your soul prospers as your body prospers. Psalm, that's 2 John. Psalm 1 talks about the blessed life. A soul that is blessed is one that prospers. But he equates a prosperous soul with that of a tree that bears fruit. Follow me. What is the purpose of the fruit of the tree? It is not for the tree itself. It is for those around it.
Come on.
The fruit of a tree is not for the tree itself. It is for those around it. The health of your soul is not just for you and you alone, but it is for those around it. There is an Esther in your life. There is an Esther in your life who needs to be adopted. There is an Esther in your life who needs to be discipled. There is an Esther in your life who needs to be raised. There is someone in your life that you need to touch and you need to grab. And you say, you know what? My soul is in a place of health. I can do what I can do because of the health of my soul. This is the Mordecai model. This is a hero worth following. This is not self-help. This is others' help. The health of your soul is not just for you, church. It is for others. I am quite ignorant when it comes to the music entertainment world, but I believe Bieber got his chance because of a man named Usher. Am I right? Usher, another musician, much older than him, much more advanced, much more established. He looked and he saw someone in the studio. He saw Justin Bieber and he said, I believe in that boy. I think he's going to make a difference. Who are you ushering this morning? Who is the Esther in your life? Is your soul at a place where you can even be the Mordecai to an Esther, church? His life continues to unfold in verses 10 through 11. It says in the story, again, you got to read it. You got to be there. Esther, she becomes queen, all right? Just Cliff Notes version. The king was upset with his other queen because she wasn't doing what he told her to do, which she shouldn't, because he was trying to show her off to the people. And she's like, I'm not your toy to be shown off to. I'm a soul to be loved. So she's out of the building. Good for her, right, ladies? And so he's looking for a new queen. He discovers this beautiful Queen Esther. And this is what it said about Esther becoming queen. Esther, who is also a Jew, right, who is adopted from Mordecai, Esther had not made known her people or her kindred. In other words, she did not make known to the king or to the palace that she was a Jew. For why? Why did she do that? Why was she able to hold her tongue? Why was she able to be stable and also have somewhat of a stable soul? For Mordecai had commanded her not to make it known. He had commanded her not to make it known. The words of Mordecai were received not as a suggestion, but as a command. Why? Because when a healthy soul speaks, people listen. Every day, Mordecai walked in front of the court and to learn how Esther was doing and what was happening to her. A soul that is healthy just doesn't make a decision to adopt someone, but they understand that this is a daily practice and a daily process, that he is raising a young woman to the point that when he utters a word to her, she doesn't receive it as a suggestion, but as a command. God, give me that grace as a father of two daughters, right? Please, Lord, may it be so. His soul is so healthy that she listens. He not only commands her not to reveal her Jewish identity for strategic purposes, but he goes and checks on her on a daily basis. A soul that is healthy is one that commands and one that cares. It is one that commands and one that cares. And John, you can come back out. So we see the life of Mordecai. We see a soul that is healthy. Wouldn't it be amazing if you talk to your teenage boy or your teenage daughter and they listen to what you said? How awesome would that be? And I'm not saying it's going to be perfect every time. But wouldn't it be awesome if you're leading a group of employees, they actually did what you told them to do? How amazing would that be? You know, wouldn't it be amazing if we had a president who would actually do what he or she said that they were going to do? I'm going to leave it right there. I ain't going any further. Michael will kill me. So. But it's amazing that the health of a soul is one that can command a room. It's one that when they speak, others listen. It's one that when they speak, others obey. And they don't just sit here with a microphone and command you and tell you what to do, but their soul is so healthy that they care for you beyond the stage. That they come to you and they say, how is your soul? How is your life? Are they treating you well at work? How is life in the home? Do you have a Mordecai in your life that is watching over you, that is shepherding your soul? If not, get in a small group. Bug these pastors, man. They want to be the Mordecai to your Esther. Come and talk to them after the service. Just tell them how you really feel and give them an ear to listen. And I just pray that those who are mature in the faith, you would say, you know what? I do feel like my soul is at a place of stability, a place of health, a place of just a healthy soul. And you're saying to yourself, you know what? I feel that the Lord is drawing me to get beyond myself. That the health of my soul isn't just for me in my prayer closet, but it's for the world to receive the goodness of God. There are people in your life, church, that need you to be their Mordecai. They need you to be their mentor. They need you to be their disciple. I remember just, again, that move from Madrid, Spain to Berea, Kentucky was bad, but another move that took place in my life was moving from Brussels, Belgium to Palatka, Florida. Has anyone ever heard of Palatka? A few more than Berea, but still not many. And I said, Lord, here we go again. The wrath of God being displayed in this move. And I remember looking at that move and just saying to myself, Lord, I'm not going to make any excuses. I want to make the most of this moment. I want to make the most of this move, the most of this transition. I want to be the Mordecai to an Esther on my street. And I'll never forget just waking up. And we don't live in the hood, but it's a step below the hood, if you know what I'm saying. And I remember just seeing boys walk down my street on their way to school. And I remember just looking out the window, and I have a desire to preach and be on the stage. But I said, Lord, I need to be a mentor to these boys. I need to be a Mordecai to these boys. I need to be a disciple maker of these boys. And something in me was just saying, just go out and talk to them. Just go out and play basketball with them. So I began to do that. And there's a slew of boys on my street every evening now. A slew of them. And one in particular, his name is Deshaun Yummins. And I began to just be with them, to just talk with them, not even just get into spiritual things, but just a young teenage boy now. And he asked me, I'll never forget, he said, what are you doing on Sunday? I said, well, we go to church. And he said, can I go with you? Amen. He has been with us to almost every single service we have preached, to almost every single service we have attended. The church gave him a Bible. I think we got a photo of it up here. The church gave him a Bible. He became part of the student ministry. Just on a daily basis, every single day before he goes to school and when he comes home, he stops by my house. And to hear worship music playing through his headphones means the world to me, church. It matters. It matters. When your soul is healthy, it will have an effect on the Esther in your life, church. It will have an effect on the Esther in your life. I pray that your soul may prosper and may be well, church, as your body is prospering and is well, God. Lord Jesus, we come to you right now, God. And we are confessing unto you, God, that we need a healthy soul. We need to be the Mordecai to the Esther in our lives, oh God. Lord Jesus, we ask, God, that you would remove any sin, any wrongdoing, God, anything that is not of you, Lord. May we commit ourselves again to the spiritual disciplines, Lord, of prayer, of fasting, of reading your word, God. Lord, we ask, God, that you would use us, Lord, beyond just ourselves, God, that the health of our soul wouldn't just be for us and for our family, but it would be for the lost souls of the city of Raleigh, God. We lift up this city to you right now, Jesus. We ask, God, for any Esther, for any lost soul, for anyone who needs to be discipled, mentored, cared for, God. We say, Lord, lead us to those people, God. Open up our ears at the grocery store, God. Open up our eyes in our subdivision, God. May we not just stay behind the white picket fence, God, but may we look to see who is in need of your grace, Jesus, who is in need of your word, Lord. May we have the health of a soul that is in our control to do unto others what you have done unto us, oh God. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said, amen. God bless you, church.
Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. This ministry is made possible because of the generosity of so many people like you. To partner with us, you can click the link in our description or visit www.givetofocus.com. If you like this podcast, you can subscribe now or share it with a friend. For more inspirational content, subscribe to our YouTube channel, www.youtube.com/focuschurch. Join us next week for another incredible message.